You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3. Is it true?
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday. Throw up your hands and praise the Lord that the weekend is almost here. I hope that you have plans to be in church on Sunday morning to share the testimony of what God has been doing in your life, to join together with other believers and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to do so in the spirit of unity where there is the commanded blessing of life evermore, that you will be worshiping God in such a way that he will be enthroned on our praises, that the word of God would go forth, that it would strike the exact spot in our heart that it needs to strike, and that we would leave a transformed people being ready to be used for the glory of God. That's what I hope your plan is for this weekend. So if you do not have a church home, I want to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. That's where we can be reached. We'll be there Sunday morning, 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship, and would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. If you do attend, please stick around long enough for me to get to meet you. One of the first things that I do is if I see a face that I don't recognize, I try and get to meet that person. I really try to have a conversation with everybody who comes to church before they get out the door, but some people are faster than what I can make happen. So I do pray that if you come and join us, you'd stick around long enough for me to introduce myself to you and get to know your name as well. We are in Romans chapter 13. We're going to be, this is our first day in this passage. We are going to be talking about verses 8 through 10 today. We are focusing primarily on a lifestyle of love and what that looks like. It's more than just emotions. It's more than just feel good about a situation. There are very practical steps, applications that we take because we live the life of unconditional love that God has for us and put it on display for others around us to know that he loves them the same way. So Romans chapter 13, verse number 8 says this: owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law for the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. As we dive into this passage, if you go up a few verses before that, you see that Paul is talking about dealing with the governing authorities, and that they are put in place by God, and not every one of them is serving God. All of them are operating in a godly manner, and so we need to take a stand for God when there are godly leaders and when there are ungodly leaders. And it talks about that it says in verse 5, therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. And then it talks about paying taxes. And it says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to fear, and honor to whom honor is due. So, verse number 8 says, owe no one anything except to love one another. So that means that we are supposed to live our life without any obligation or being behind, if you will. We're not past due on any of these things. So we're supposed to be current on our financial obligations. We are supposed to be current in dealing with people according to the customs that that society has. So a lot of times people travel outside of the United States. Here's a mistake that many people make, and that is they travel outside of the United States thinking that they are still going to have the same customs, the same laws, the same freedoms that we have in America. And if you go to another country, you will find yourself under their jurisdiction, under their laws, and sometimes there can be a vast difference between the two. And so you can find yourself on the wrong side of the law because you don't understand what is customary in that culture. So let me bring it to an American situation. I grew up in the central part of the United States. For the most part, it was a relatively healthy environment. There wasn't a tremendous amount of crime. People watched out for one another, even to the point that neighbors got me in trouble because they saw I was doing something stupid and called my mother, told her I was doing something stupid. And my mother came down and without telling us who had revealed it to her, she didn't tell us until she was, I think, over 60. It was just neighbors watching neighbors. My mother came and we were convinced that she had a hotline to heaven. What she actually had was neighbors that watched out for one another. People liked one another. Neighbors knew their names, talked to one another, and all that sort of stuff. Well, my first ministry position, I moved to one of the biggest cities in America. And in that place, I found out that it was a completely different dynamic. Instead of being relatively country, this was metropolitan. Instead of being relatively friendly, there were people who didn't trust one another. Where I grew up, you could leave your front door not only unlocked, you could leave your front door open at that point in time and not deal with much of a threat to anything other than maybe a bug getting into your house. In the metropolitan city, people locked the door behind them if they were going to be out of sight of the door for a few seconds. Locksmiths' jobs there probably, their number one thing was replacing locks because they'd been worn out from the key having to get stuck in and out so much. It was a completely different culture. And in order for me to minister in the metropolitan area that I had to adjust to what was customary so that I could speak to the people. So Paul said, when I'm ministering to people of one area, I minister to them in such a way that they're going to be receptive to the gospel. Jesus did the same thing. He spoke to Nicodemus along spiritually intellectual matters. In John chapter 3, in John chapter 4, he ministers to the woman at the well from a broken relationship standpoint and brings her to a place of greater. He brings her out of spiritual inadequacy revelation, inadequate revelation, and brings her to a place where she could worship God in spirit and in truth. Both lives were transformed. The woman went back and became one of the most effective evangelists that city will ever know. Everybody came out to hear about Jesus because of what he told that woman. Nicodemus became very effective in communicating in the hostile environment of the Sanhedrin. We need to make sure that we do not find ourselves violating the communication or the community norms that are necessary because we're supposed to be communicating the gospel. Well, the next one says fear to whom fear. That means you hold in awe that which is supposed to be held in awe. You give reverence. So we live in a society right now where insulting tends to be the communication method most used. And I'll tell you, it's not the most effective. You generally are not going to make godly impact by insulting people. Okay? So I wonder what it would be like if we walked in a reverential awe where we realized what a blessing it is to have relationships, not the other way around. So if you want people to respect you, then you need to be a person who respects other people. That's the way that it works. Respect those in authority over you, and you will have people respect you when you're in authority over them. So make sure that you don't fail to show that level of respect. And it also talks about honor to whom honor. Give honor to whom honor is due. Where there are so many outlets and they want to do nothing but talk about dishonorable things. I will tell you that at one point in time, I subscribed to a certain newsletter and I had to, at some point in time, discontinue it because everything about it was about controversy. It was about problems in one area or another. And it began to weigh on my spirit. Not that I wanted to, you know, bury my head under a rock. I'm not that stupid. I'm not that naive. I know about the realities of life. But I can tell you, I believe in honoring those in authority over me. I believe in that, not to the point of covering up of sin. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about to have a proper, healthy relationship, a proper, holy relationship, where in honoring the person in authority over me, I am also honoring the God over them. And so that's verse 7. And Paul writes and says, owe no one anything except to love one another. So if we talk about the word owe, a lot of times we think of that in the terms of debt, money that is owed to another person, where we have an obligation or a duty to repay them. And most of the time there's a time frame that is involved in that. The biblical instruction is this. The borrower is servant to the lender. And, you know, when I first came to the church, there was financial debt. There is no financial debt any longer. I can tell you it is a tremendous blessing to be able to live in a situation where you're not having to figure out how am I going to pay off a debt that I don't have the resources to pay off. And so when God delivered us from that, we were thankful, and we don't ever want to go back to that type of lifestyle again. We're able to do so much more ministry, more outreach. The month of August will be a tremendous month of ministry to the community through Merit Assembly of God. And again, we're one of the smaller churches. Some pastors and some churches say, well, we can't afford to do outreach and ministry outside of the church. And my philosophy, my answer is this: you can't afford not to. If you're a farmer, you can't afford not to sow seed into your field. That harvest will produce for you more seed, and it will also provide food that sustains. You and I are supposed to be impacting our culture, not just holding down the fort in our culture. So, I have lived my life practically my entire adult life because I started off with student loans. I started off in full-time ministry, making $80 a week, working 70 hours a week. I was doing ministry, and my income was not enough to pay my bills every month. That's where I've come from. And, you know, I celebrate the freedom that the church has. Every month, my wife and I get closer and closer and closer to a couple of things. Being, you know, I'm already on Medicare. She gets closer to it every year. So that tells you the demographic that we're talking about. So we get closer and closer to, you know, should the Lord tarry, you know, not doing the things that we do full time. We also get closer and closer to not having any financial bills that we have to come up with month after month after month. And so if something miraculous happens, you know, we can take large advancement steps towards that, because we took the biblical mandate that says if a person will not take care of his family, he's worse than an unbeliever, worse than an infidel. We took that very seriously. And so my wife and I literally helped out her mother, because her mother could not afford to take care of herself. And one of the siblings took care of the day-to-day care, and we helped and with the finances and stuff like that. But I was not going to, we did everything within our power to make sure that as long as my mother-in-law was alive, that she was taken care of. And, you know, now we're just praying that her house sells in a timely manner. And so if you want to pray for us, you can pray along with us for that. That would greatly advance our goal of getting to where, you know, we're much, much closer to being debt free. That would get us down to a very small mortgage at that point in time. And so for that, we would be very thankful. I will happily sacrifice financial for the caring of my family. So, but back to what we're talking about here. There are people who live under the tremendous strain of massive financial burdens, and think that they have found a path that generates income that is better than God's system. I would highly encourage you to listen to Dave Ramsey's books, materials, whatever. Now, here's what I will tell you. Dave Ramsey's personality is not one that's going to sit there and hold your hand and pat you on the head and tell you, you just keep on doing what you're doing. That's not his personality, because he's lived through it. He took on a bunch of debt, and then he was trying to operate by that model, and all of a sudden his world came crashing down and he crashed out. Now, everything he does, he pays cash for. There were people a few years ago, and they were saying, it's so foolish to live by that mindset. And, you know, because they were invested in real estate and the real estate was going up, and their portfolios just kept getting bigger and bigger, and their debt kept get bigger and bigger. But you know what? Things don't always go up. And whenever it started hitting a plateau, then the next thing you know is some of those people are saying, oh no, now I've got to liquidate everything because I have this debt load that is oppressive. I encourage you, create margin in your life. Create financial margin. Create margin with your time. So that, you know, one of the greatest blessings that you can get is not being in a panic if something comes up that's an emergency. And so one of the things Dave Ramsey talks about is have an emergency fund. And he also talks about, you know, here's the steps of getting out from underneath that burden that's slowly killing you. So he knows it's not a one-step process. It's a journey, and, you know, you want that journey to be as short as possible. So, owe no one anything except to love one another. Get out from underneath those financial burdens so that you won't have to worry about whether or not you've got $5 million to fund your retirement on. By the way, I will tell you this, your bank account is not what you can trust in. Jesus is who you're supposed to trust. Nothing wrong with being a wise financial steward. Not saying that at all. I'm saying, but our trust is in Jesus. Jesus is on the throne in good economies. Jesus is on the throne in bad economies. Jesus is on the throne when we have good jobs, and Jesus will be on the throne when we're retired. I would also tell you this, and I'm not sure that a lot of the financial experts talk about this, is honor the Lord with your finances. It is not just about the fact that you don't owe anything. And there are a lot of people who say, you know what? I don't make my bills are more than my income. I can't afford to give. And I would tell you the same thing I said before. You can't afford not to. Because if you will not honor the Lord with your finances, when you don't have much in the way of finances, the temptation is to say, well, wait until you've got all this straightened out and then do that. You'll be so much. The truth of the matter is that's not the way people operate. If you won't be faithful in little, you won't be faithful in much. And that fear and honor, it comes, that reverence and that honor takes place in the realm of finance as well. And what I mean by that is I honor God with my finances because I am making this statement. God, I trust you with what you've already provided for me, and I trust you enough that you're going to be able to provide in the days to come. Listen, I used to be one of the most financially fear-controlled individuals you ever knew. That largely came from those early ministry years where there wasn't much money that came in. It came from the first jobs I had being jobs where I made minimum wage and was trying to support a family. But along the way, God, who provides himself and all of the resources of heaven for his saints, showed up, delivered me from that fear, and showed me a much better way to live. And so I want to encourage you, if you find yourself overwhelmed by debt, ask God to forgive you, to give you the wisdom on how to proceed so that you can get out from underneath that burden and you can operate from the principle of love. Now, in our modern society, people many times will go and declare bankruptcy. And you know what they do? A lot of times they go right back and dig the same pit all over again. People who used to file bankruptcy, I don't know if they still do, but they were immediately targeted by car dealerships trying to get them in a car they couldn't afford again, because there was only so many times you could file bankruptcy, and so they were able to charge them crazy amounts of usury and interest because they were a risk. And a lot of times people just keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. If you've been set free financially, throw up your hands and praise the Lord. And also commit yourself that you're not going to live under the dominion, under the tyranny of debt, but instead you're going to live in the faithful provision that God has given to you. And that liberates us to be able to love one another, not just in word, not just in deed, but what we talked about on yesterday's program, where we can be from Romans chapter 12, where we can be given to hospitality and generosity. Have a great weekend. Oh, wait a minute. I still got another minute. Well, have a great weekend anyway. I hope that you do have plans to be in the house of God. I'm sitting there looking at the clock, and I sometimes run up against it. Make plans to be in the house of God. Brevard is a big county. There are a lot of great Bible preaching churches. Make sure you're in one so that you can hear the word of God. You can be transformed by the power of God, and you can go out to do the mission of God. And that is take the gospel of Jesus Christ into every neighborhood, every workplace here in Brevard County. I do pray that you have a great weekend. It's Friday. That means it's a day off for me, and I'm going to go out and have a great day. You do the same. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."